Hello, and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. I'm going to start off this episode talking about the new comics magazine. The second issue has come out from Prana Press, and I've read two articles so far. I started the Kirkman interview. I haven't finished it yet. I read the mailbag. And there was one article I really liked. It's called Dollar Bin Kings by Tony Fleece and Tim Seeley. And a matter of fact, they turned me on to a couple of things. A comic book called Vortex from Entity Comics. And I immediately put it in my pull box. And also Snowman. It sounds like this creator, let's see what his name is, Hall of Heroes. Vortex is from Hall of Heroes. And just trying to find the creator. Why can I not find it? They're mentioning the comics, but they're not mentioning the creator. We're starting with Vortex from Hall of Heroes. Mm-hmm. It's by Matt Martin. And they said they really started following this Matt Martin because he did Snowman too. And they said he started off as like a Christian teenager, evangelical Christian teenager. And he did Vortex and then later on did Snowman, which really was dark and different than the original, and that whole contrast seemed to be different. But I really like the Dollar Bin Kings. I hope they keep that article. A matter of fact, I think I'm gonna write a letter to see if it gets published. I'll just out of curiosity. But there's a Chew one pager that has exclusive content. They do comics picks. Like in this case, they picked. I have to let Gigi out for a second. I'll be right back. And they have their comic picks, their hot picks, at least books that they picked, more so based on what they want to read, not speculation. And they picked Bizarro Year None from DC Comics. Writers Kevin Smith and Eric Carasso. And Kevin Smith does have a book coming from Marvel, too. I saw it in the last previews. They pick American Caper, Volume 1 from Dark Horse Trade Paperback. That's coming out in singles from David Laffam. They pick Corpse Knight, Number 1, from Skybound. I think that one's one of those hits so far. They pick Marvel and DC Spider-Man, Superman, Number 1. Neighborhood Watch, Number 1. That one sounds really interesting. I think I got it in my last shipment. Thundercats crossover with Silverhawks from Dynamite Comics. And Tyler Rake and Extraction Story from Ignition Press. And Youngblood 100 from Rob Liefeld. So they picked some stuff. That sounds pretty cool. They have some interesting ads in here, too. So they're starting to get ads like Wizard Magazine would have. There's like an Oz book coming out by Fred Van Lente and Larry King, illustrated by Mike Diodato Jr. Where is that coming from? It doesn't say who the publisher is. It's called The Ultimate Oz Universe. And I've been reading a lot of Oz from Zenoscope and really enjoying the hell out of it. But I also wanted to talk about the Pulbok Power Rankings, and I want to tell you where these come from. These are pretty much the it reads here, Pulbok's Power Rankings are based on pre-order and subscription data from over 80,000 consumers across more than 600 comic shops. The ranking is compiled from single comic book sales gathered by Direct Sales Solutions, point of sales information provided through Managed Comics and Comic Shop Assistance POS systems. So that's very interesting. They're actually using some of the metadata to give us these power rankings. And one thing that's kind of exciting, at least to me, is during the Wizard years and the Diamond years, I was always rooting for somebody to knock Marvel out. And DC would do it, but they'd only do it for like 1 or 2 months, and then Marvel would then. But lately, over the course of the last year, I think DC's been winning. And it, you can kind of see this, even though this is 600 stores, I think there's like 1,200 stores. So it's like about half. But what you see is the top 10 titles. One is Absolute Batman. No surprise there. Number two is Batman. Number three is Absolute Wonder Woman. Number four is Absolute Superman. Number six is Amazing Spider-Man, so Marvel gets in there. Number seven is DC KO. Number eight is Absolute Martian Manhunter. Number nine is Absolute Flash. And number 10 is Transformers. So you got one Marvel and one Image. And that'll probably change a little bit next month, based on some of the books came out. Looking forward to the next one to see what they are. And then the top 10 publishers. At number one is DC Comics. At number two is Marvel Comics. At number three is Image Comics. At number four is IDW Publishing. At number five is Dynamite Entertainment. At number six is Dark Horse Comics. At number seven is Boom Comics. At number eight is Titan Comics. At number nine is Mad Cave Studios. And number 10 is Bad Idea. They also have the top 10 cover artists. At number one is Nick Jagoda. At number two is Dan Mora. At number three is Jorge Jimenez. At number four is Hayden Sherman. At number five is Tony Daniel. At number six is Rafael Sandoval. At number seven is David Nakayama. Number eight is Joshua Hickson. Number nine is David Marquez. And number 10 is Pepe Larez. The top 10 interior artists, like Nick Jagoda, Jorge Jimenez, Hayden Sherman, Tony Daniel, Juan Fiera, Dan Mora, Joshua Hickson, John Romita Jr. Yeah, he's my favorite. And he blows the doors on all of these artists in terms of storytelling. I mean, you might say you don't like his art, but if you look at the way he tells a story, he that's where his talent is, storytelling. Number nine is Pepe Larraz, and number 10 is Javier Fernandez. We got the top 10 writers. At number one is Scott Snyder. At number two is Joshua Williamson. At number three is Joe Kelly. At number four is Robert Kirkman. Number five is Jed McKay. Number six is Dennis Camp. Number seven is Matt Fraction. Number eight is Al Ewing. Number nine is Jason Aaron. And number 10 is Kelly Thompson. So that's always a lot of fun. And there's a lot of other articles. They talk about the Oakland Comic-Con, Head Lopper, the Supernatural Brilliance of Marjorie Liu, Night Eaters. That one I don't know if I've read, actually. It's available from Abrams. I haven't even heard of it. Matter of fact, there's the X-Men I want to say Elseworlds, but it's called Else Something Else from John Byrne that you need to pre-order if you want that. These are the books that like continue his story after the original stories that he did with Chris Claremont, and they tell him that the way he wanted them to be told. So they're collected by Abrams. He published them on the web to just do it for free as like a fan comic book. And now they're taking that content, Abrams is, and publishing it. So make sure you put that on your pull box. I ordered two because I know a lot of people are going to forget, you know, especially now with the their non-diamond era where we have catalogs all over the place. They probably won't see this. So, especially if they're not looking at Abrams like me. I lucked out through social media, or I would have missed it too. So there you go. And then they have all kinds of ads about comic shops and the coming of Terminal, which is then that Robert Kirkman, which is his take like on the X-Men, that has some really big artists coming to draw that. That should be really fun. And yeah, I'm really happy with it, and that's what I wanted to talk about in this short segment. And then I'm going to go into some weekly reads and hopefully record one more other ish episode to be released in the future about black and white comics that I read this weekend, because I really stayed focused on black and whites from the night early 90s and 80s. So I'll be talking about that in next episode. I hope you stick around for next episode and listen to that. I'm going to take a pause for the cause to tally some numbers. All right, I am back, and let's go over the comics that were read October 20th through October 26th. We'll start with what I watched. Clown in a Cornfield was about clowns in a small town killing people. I don't remember where I watched it, but it's a horror film. I think it was on Peacock. Dangerous Animals, that was a shark one, I believe, about a guy that was using sharks to be a serial killer. That was a really good one. And the 5 out of 5 was Psycho, which is a rewatch of the original Alfred Hitchcock film. I just love that. I kind of don't watch a lot of films yearly over and over again, but Psycho during Halloween, I tend to revisit that horror film over and over again. I just think it's a great work of art. I think Alfred Hitchcock is amazing, and I'm starting to explore a lot more of his films. So that week we only had 17 items. The reason I say items is because one was the novel. We will start with the 4 out of 5s. So we got Princess of Darkness from Eros. Well, let me do the breakdown. We got 2 from Vortex, 6 Marvel, 1 Harvey, 3 Eros, 4 DC, and 1 novel. But it wasn't an entire novel, it was just like 4 chapters in that novel. So we got Princess of Darkness, number 1. That was the Princess of Darkness is a tale of a young woman who lost her family and fortune, but has a mysterious protector in the form of a book that releases a beautiful woman that protects her. That's from Eros, so it's an adult book. Domino Lady, also from Eros, 1 and 2. Started the morning off with revisioning of Golden Age. Reversioning of a Golden Age heroine named Domino Lady. I think she's in public domain because I've seen her in Moonstone and other books, other publishers through Eros. And this is a pulpy story where Domino Lady, her butler, and detective must take on a crime lord with a doctor who can control velociraptors and people with a flute. So he's like a Pied Piper. Yes, it has nudity because it is Eros, and she does tend to get her clothes ripped off by a velociraptor. We got Legacy of Vader. This is continuing the Adam Driver saga of how he became. What is the guy's name? I can't even think of it. In the new trilogy of films. And it is really interesting because he's living in the shadow of others, and he really is like a spoiled kid, like a kid that I don't even understand how he became evil. Like, it doesn't make any sense when you're raised by Leia and Han and Luke. I don't know how you could just like turn evil. So hopefully this book will explain it. Battle World number one. This was really good. It's a collection of heroes brought together by the Beyonder, not by the Beyonder, but Korvac, and kind of like a Secret Wars. We got Eclipso 4 through 7 from DC Comics. Yes, I bought this when it was coming out, but I don't remember any of it, so I read it on the app again. I some of them I may have just like boarded and bagged and put in the box because I think I read like the first few and then that was it because this story was like new to me and I thought Eclipso was fantastic. I think it was amazing. And if you don't know what Eclipso is, he's sort of a villain that has a diamond. A matter of fact, Eclipso number zero, or the book that kicked it off, number one, I don't remember if it was number one or number zero, had a diamond inside of it. A lot of collectors complain because it damages the books in the comic box, you know, because you have this protruding 3D diamond coming out of the comic book. I think it's amazing. I don't really care. Bring on the bad guys. My screen just went blank. Abomination. This Bring on the Bad Guys series has been really incredible. I for Marvel Comics, it's probably been like one of my favorite Marvels, but Abomination destroys a spirit that is taking Wakandians for his freedom. Unfortunately, he does not rescue the people once freed. More of the origin of Sister Sorrow. Definitely above average book for Marvel that's probably flying under. I didn't hear anybody talk about Bring On the Bad Guys personally. Yes, I've reduced the number of podcasts I listen to. You know, Rob Liefeld ain't gonna be talking about it. All he does is slam it. And the Bronze and Modern Guys, they don't buy a lot of new stuff, so they wouldn't even experience it, even though I know Richard loves Doctor Doom. Comics for Fun and Profit. Kyle, I don't think, reads comics. Drew reads them, but I don't know if he did this book or not. Challengers is more about the business side. And so is the other podcast I listen to, but I can't think of what it is. The Comics Conspiracy. So those are pretty much the books I listen to, comics I listen to. I can't listen to podcasts when I'm walking Gigi anymore, or else I'd be listening to 11 O'Clock Comics. I do listen to that as my backup podcast. And the reason is I got to be alert in case she sees another dog. And it's better that I'm alert too to see if bikes are coming up on me because they don't care about people walking and I need to be alert. But and I used to like not like it without because I used to pass the time as I was walking Gigi and make things better. But I mean Harley, sorry, but with Gigi, you know, I gotta be more alert. And I find it kind of peaceful and just time to think about stuff. All new Venom 6 through 8. I've been enjoying this Mary Jane mystery. It started off as a mystery, like who's Venom? You know, is it Dylan? Is it Mary Jane's boyfriend? Is it Robbie Robbins? You know, Robinson? Is it? I can't remember. There was like a slew of people, and it turned out to be Mary Jane, and kind of surprised people. But it's been really interesting, just from her history of being in Spider-Man and being with Peter Parker and what was going on. It is a really good comic book, and it's drawn really well. It's really well drawn. I wonder what they're gonna do with that. A matter of fact, it's crossing over into an event. And I was keeping caught up on this, but not Amazing Spider-Man. So it's going to be, I started to put these and stack them up so I can read it like an event and not be caught up. Then we got Chamber of Chills. This is from Harvey. This is a reprint, number 19. A very expensive book, a very iconic cover. This is a replica. I wish I had the original, but there was like a Kickstarter, like 19 horror titles that are, you know, are real famous replicas, and I bought it. And this one has two romance stories. One, aliens invade through a color television, and Garzon, Lord of the Jungle story. All of them were really very good. The 5 out of 5s were Black Kiss 3 and 4, The Tale of Beverly, who goes by many aliases. She's a succubus. You don't learn it that this early. Matter of fact, the way he told this story, his vision is played out in the entire 12-issue series. So you really have to read the whole thing to understand what's happening, even though each issue does give you entertainment. But it's an adult comic about the succubus and her companion, which is Dagmar. But it is a really, I highly recommend it. I don't own all the Vortex comics. The ones that I read are in the omnibus. I have like 3 of the 12, and then I bought Black Kiss. So I haven't experienced Black Kiss before because I didn't have the individual issues, but now I was reading it as part of Geek Brunch, and it was amazing. And then Money Shot, basically about a woman that is in the porn industry, but she's retired pretty much, and that just manages that, and she's invited to a porn shoot. And this is the novel, by the way, and by Christina Faust. And she goes there thinking it's just going to be a shoot because her agent says, just come, it's going to be with this guy. I can't remember the guy's name, something Black or something. And she always wanted to film with him. And they basically knock her over the head and then shoot the agent and then like frame her for murder of her agent and then other things. And put her in a trunk and then leave her for dead, except she didn't die. This guy just shot into the trunk, and it's a revenge story. It's really good. I highly recommend it. Matter of fact, I bought the follow-on book. I think it's a trilogy. I do need to get back into reading novels again. And then these are books read from October 27th to November 2nd. I think I'm going to have to pause here to let GG in again. All right. I'm back, and this is for October 27th through November 2nd. We'll start with what I watched. A lot of things I watched. It's amazing I read 34 comics. I have an extra day off every week now. Working a 4-day work week. But we got Popeye's Revenge. That's a Popeye horror movie. In Violent Nature. That one I can't remember. House on Haunted Hill. That's the original I watched. The black and white with Vincent Price. Man, I gotta look up this In Violent Nature just to refresh my memory. Not there, though. I gotta bring up there. In Violent Nature. Oh, this was one that I wanted to see at the theater, about a serial killer with a hook. It was supposed to be, I didn't get to go to the theater to see it, but I saw it on streaming. I enjoyed it. House on Haunted Hill. Bugnolia. That's when I saw at the theater. Last Straw. I think I have to look up this one too, because I don't remember what that one was. Let me see. Last Straw. Oh, this is one that took place in a diner. This was really good. A waitress who fights for her life over the course of one long night when a small town killing spree lands on her doorstep. That was really good. I like that one. And then the 5 out of 5s were Alfred Hitchcock films. Birds, watched it again probably for the fourth time, and Rear Window for the first time, and it's become one of my favorite. It is my favorite Alfred Hitchcock film. I like it more than Psycho. I am flabbergasted by that movie. 34 comics, one massive panic. I'm glad this one came up because I got to make sure this. That I finish the title. I don't see, there's supposed to be a number 3 out, and I don't think I have it. My throat's dry, not a sore throat, but just dry from talking. So I put like a caramel drop into my mouth. So if you hear that, I apologize. Marvel 13 comics, Magma 1, another Harvey, DC 15, too bad idea. We'll start with the 3 out of 5s. This book grew on me. We covered this on Geek Brunch, and at the time I read it, I was like, "This isn't like anything else. I mean, it's like something else that I've read." A post-apocalyptic scenario where a warrior had been infected with these protein devour aliens, and is fighting them. So it turns them into like creatures. It came down from Earth and infects humans. And this guy got infected, but he can control himself. Like he's an anomaly. Most of them lose control and they're like Borg. They're like mind controlled. They all talk to one another. When he's devouring aliens, he's fighting them. I said it had beautiful art. But we have seen similar alien stories, but once you start reading this story, it's kind of hooks you and definitely jumped into the 4 out of 5s for me. We got the 4 out of 5s now. We got Survival number 1 from Bad Idea. This is an American and Russian trapped on a sinking sub. Will they work together to survive? We have the latest Star Wars 1 through 3. After the return of the Jedi and the rebellion is trying to establish a structure where some of the planets don't want and they don't want their help. It's sort of in chaos, you know, now that they took over for the Empire. We got the Flash number 26 is a TKO tie-in as the Kid Flash tries to take on Darkseid with Wally trying to save Bart. It ends up with Max Mercury falling before the Dark Legion. Got Titans 28, a DCKO tie-in where the Titans are assisting the world with an evacuation. We got Star Wars, Dr. Aphra, Chaos Agent number 2. Aphra working with Luke to obtain the Force Glove, and then starts working for Han. I am really liking Dr. Aphra comics. I'm late to the party, so I'm reading two simultaneously, the previous volume and this volume. Superior Avengers. Trying to restructure things. 3 and 4. The majority of the team is looking to betray Doom while Killmonger is trying to get Kristoff's attention on what is going on. They face off against the Avengers and hold their own. The Superior Avengers are like all villains working for Kristoff. And you know, you got like a not the Doc Ock, but a Doc Ock, a female Doc Ock, and then you got somebody that looks like they all go by different names, but looks like Dormammu, and you have somebody from Wakanda, and I can't remember all of them to tell you the truth, but maybe my notes will flush out with the remember. But it started off better than I think it finished. I was really into it with the Doom comics. Cul-de-sac number two. This has moved into the fives for me. It's so good. These kids, at this time, you think they're vampire kids. They were vampires can have kids, and you'll learn more about why this particular cul-de-sac of vampires could have kids. That there's something beyond vampires. They're like sort of like vampire killers, but they're getting hunted by vampires and they're being hunted by vampire killers. So kids are trying to get to a family friend from the bus stop because their whole families were slaughtered by vampire killers, and the vampire killers set off a bomb on the bus, and there is a vampire assassin also after them, and that's the scary one, is the vampire assassin, more so than the vampire killers. Night of the Slashers, a school bus is on the way to its game and stops off in a small town. It turns off turns out that after dusk, many of them turn into slasher killers. That's a really interesting concept. That was from Magma Comics. Blood Hunters 1 through 5, a team of Bloodstone, Dagger, Hollow's Eve, White Widow have to take on the powerful vampire coven. Chamber of Chills 23, another that's from Harvey, a Golden Age classic. This is definitely a reprint because I can't afford the original. A story about the surgeon who took the heart from a corpse to save his dead wife. A man in a mental hospital is trying to convince doctors there are aliens, and he is being treated by one. A failed wax museum curator takes to murder, only to ends up dying of a heart attack and fix your hernia. Why would I say that? I don't know. Why did a hernia come into that? Maybe there was a story about fix your hernia. Justice League Unlimited number 12. Justice League is helping with the evacuation, trying to help as many people as possible, while the big guns are in a tournament. A new league is formed by displaced time JLA members. One World Under Doom number 8. This series is really good. It's a 4 out of 5 here, but it's definitely become more. I love the strange relationship that Valeria has with Doom, and this issue has a lot of it. Punisher Red Band number 2. Kingpin is controlling Punisher through Micro. I gotta finish that series. I should do it this weekend. Eclipso 8 through 18, so I finished the whole series. The team is killed by Eclipso. Bruce and his girlfriend have to use solar tech to take Eclipso out of the picture. There's also a lot more to it. Like he goes like with the Suicide Squad type team. You know, there's the Creeper. There's Peacemaker. There's so many different members, obscure characters, C-listers, obviously. That go into this like island nation that he's taken over and have to stop him. Superman 31. Superman tries to get his entire family to evacuate so he can go fight. He asks his father to help him understand Doomsday or Darkseid, but he does not. Lois escapes to quit. To question Jor-El to no avail, but Laura seems like she might be able to help. And that wraps up Mike M's Weekly Reads. I hope you enjoyed it. You can find me at DCNoisePodcast.com, where I publish Geek Brunch currently and Mike M's Weekly Reads. I would like to do more, but I've been more doing things than actually recording. I hope you stick around and hear this. I probably lost listeners because I know I would look for other content if it wasn't coming out. So those that are still around, you can reach me at mikemyersbrunch@gmail.com or mikemyersbrunch at X or Blue Sky. And enjoy your comics. In the next episode, I will be talking about black and white comics that I'm reading because I spent a whole weekend reading them, and I just want to tell you about them. So join me for that one. I'll talk to you in a bit. Bye.